This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace, when he said, "Those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back." Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. All sorts of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. We welcome your listenership and we appreciate your listenership here at Agenda 21 Radio. Please visit our website, a21r.com, and of course, NewCaliforniaState.com. New California, I'm telling you, we are rocking. New California, it is absolutely going crazy with all the things that are happening in New California. We're going to be joined here momentarily with Scott Bennett. He's going to be talking to us. A lot of things going on in Scott's world, and of course, right in the center of all the activity that's been had with the president and everything else. Going to be talking to him momentarily. In the third hour, we're going to be talking a lot about the Oroville Dam situation because, you know, there are a lot of things going on in that Oroville Dam situation that a lot of people don't quite understand. So we're going to bring you up to date. It's kind of shocking now. All of a sudden, they've decided that, well, maybe they should use the spillway. Well, maybe they shouldn't. And today they will, tomorrow they won't. I mean, it's rather schizophrenic. Actually, I call it stoner logic seems to be applied here. When you start talking about the California Department of Water Resources. And we find out now, I mean, we found this out. We actually posted the story on the 1st, and it came out, I think, on the 30th. But the Trump administration is now investigating the Oroville Dam operation. Shocking, shocking, shocking. I have no idea. We're going to get into that story as to how that's all happening. It's quite a lovely story. I'm sure that all of you Oroville Dam aficionados will understand that. Well, with us right now is Scott Bennett. And Scott, welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio.
It is great to be with you, Paul.
As usual, you're right in the center of the activity going on with the president and this administration and all the bad guys. It seems that all the bad guys that now Donald J. Trump is identifying, you already identified them years ago.
Well, God bless our president. I pray for God's protection and his strengthening of Donald Trump. And I think he is in a position unique to all the presidents. The closest one is Reagan or Teddy Roosevelt. But even Trump's in more of a predicament because he's surrounded by traitors and half-wits and schizophrenics and stoners. I think that's a good word that you used. I think, you know, it's fascinating. God works in interesting ways. It's very similar to what we've been seeing about World War II and D-Day and all this. When we look at it from a military symbolic sort of way, Donald Trump is Eisenhower. You were storming the beach at Normandy, and I was parachuting in the 82nd Airborne behind enemy lines. You know, and I met Brad Birkenfeld in a prison camp when I busted him out, essentially. I went in with wire cutters and took out all of his WikiLeaks cables that had been couriered in by Julian Assange, and I threw him up in the sky full of flares and wrote in the stars, Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, Eric Holder, Lanny Brewer, the firm Covington & Burling, which incidentally used to represent Michael Flynn until I think his brother told him the story I told him and said, "Brother Flynn, you got to get rid of this law firm, Covington & Burling. I met a guy named Scott Bennett. He said they were involved with terrorist financing and the Clinton Foundation. Didn't they tell you that when they represented you?" Michael Flynn probably said, "No, I never knew that." So well, Covington & Burling and Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer and Loretta Lynch and John Brennan, all of them represented this Nazi Gestapo group that were doing terrorist financing, and little old me was parachuted in, got the stuff by God's grace and shot it out. And you were one of the first ones to actually lift it up and put it on the airways to an international audience that started listening.
Yeah.
And you know, the Russian, the whole Russian collusion, Russian story, Russian operatives that they love to coin came right after your show, because Russia Today and Sputnik and all these other international news channels started calling for information. And they invented the Russian collusion hoax narrative and all that, I think, based on the domino that we tipped over and started to fall. And it's ruined their whole scam ever since, thank God.
Yeah, and you know, history is just turning into a wonderful thing for this whole operation, basically. It's and it's going to continue because it's all reverberating. And a lot of we have a lot of new listeners to our radio show. I wouldn't do it any service. I would do it a great disservice that I didn't go back and explain the history here and how we got connected. But you were doing, tell us about what you were up to, because you got in the military because of 9/11 and you thought you were doing the good thing, and you were doing the good thing. And then you got yourself into the intelligence services. How did all that play out, and how did we get to us back in, gosh, I think 2014 or 15?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was raised in California all my life. I moved out to Washington, D.C. in 1998 and worked in the Heritage Foundation and got my master's and PhD and did some interesting work in George Mason University and worked with USAID and then I went into the George W. Bush administration. And then from 2003 to 2008, I was working for George Bush. I thought 9/11 was a real event, of course. Like everybody else, I didn't discover much later that the evidence shows very conclusively otherwise, that it was a PSYOP designed for this military adventurism that we've now been undergoing for the last 19 years. But I didn't discover that till much later. But when I left the Bush administration, I was recruited by Colonel Jeff Jones, who said, "I'm putting together a special team for special operations and psychological warfare and all this. I liked your background." He had seen me at a presentation I gave at the Pentagon with Dick Myers and Secretary of State Rumsfeld. So I said, "Well, I'll join your team." The Bush administration was winding down, so I left and went over to Booz Allen Hamilton. Booz Allen Hamilton was a defense contractor. Edward Snowden worked in the cyber operations, so we're colleagues. I don't go too much into the details of that because of the bad guys. I don't want them to know too much. But Edward Snowden was in cyber operations. A lot of interesting people worked in Booz Allen Hamilton. And I did counterterrorist financing. I worked at the State Department counterterrorism office under Ambassador Del Daley, who was also the general of Joint Special Operations Command, and worked with RAND Institute people, CIA people. And then I went, one of my assignments was going down and working for Dov Zakheim. Dov Zakheim was the comptroller at the Pentagon when $2.3 trillion went missing and was redirected. And
isn't,
I worked
isn't
for
that
Dov's...
the, isn't that the famous Rumsfeld comment the day before 9/11?
Yep, that's right. That, Dov Zakheim was sitting right next to him.
And he was responsible for it.
Just yep,
$2 trillion, $2.3 trillion just disappears.
Yep. Yeah, right. And okay. We know where it went, too. So I went down and worked for Dov Zakheim with some very special instructions on see what's going on, see what's happening, make notes, make reports to Colonel Jones. And I went down to Florida and worked at MacDill Air Force Base doing terrorist financing, following the money, following all the banks, the couriers, the charities. A lot of that is protected in TSI material, so I can't talk too much about it, but what I do talk about is public and unclassified. So I was down doing terrorist financing, and I noticed a lot of things irregular. I noticed a lot of mysterious banks and relationships. One of it was the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and the Obama administration and how they were running things and what was going on, and I started making reports, and Saudi Arabia was my key country. I knew everything about everybody in Saudi Arabia, the royal family, the bureaucrats, the DMV directors, and what they were doing, and how they were interfacing with their embassies and sending bad guys over here and such. So I started making reports, and the next thing I know, I'm stopped at the front gate. I'm denied access, and I'm told I'm fired because of a housing error. Of course, I thought it was all a test. I thought it was a military drill because I was going to be deployed and I was, you know, top secret SCI. So I thought, oh, they're putting me through the rigors of to see if I can survive it. Well, it wasn't a test. It was actually a countermeasure to stop me and get me off base because I was either too close to the apple cart. They were afraid of getting it tipped over or they were just panicking. But they fired me and sent me back to Washington, D.C. And the next thing I know, David Shalala, Donna Shalala's nephew, comes alongside and out of the blue and says, I'm going to represent you. And I thought it was all a political, okay, Obama's in power and maybe this is part of this big test. Can't get closer to the Obama-Clinton administration than David Shalala, who's the nephew of Donna Shalala. Donna Shalala, who was president of the Clinton Foundation. Donna Shalala, who's now a congresswoman of Florida, but not for long because all of this is going to throw her under the bus.
She's a marked woman now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's among us at all. So David Shalala comes. I go to court thinking this whole thing's going to be thrown out, thinking some CIA guys are going to come in and say, Mr. Bennett, you passed the test. But little did I know, David Shalala comes in and just throws me under the bus and just says, well, you know, he didn't know that his housing form, allegedly, they accused me of filling out a housing form wrong, and they called that 18100-1, making a false statement. And that's the same thing they charged Michael Flynn with. It's the same charge they give to everybody that the FBI comes and says, hey, did you have a red tie 2 years ago on June 25th? No, I think it was a yellow tie. No, it was a red tie, and that's a false statement. So they did that game with me, and the next thing I know, They put a belt around me, put the handcuffs on, and throw me in jail right after the court case of making a false statement. I never was allowed to testify. None of my documents were allowed to come in that would have totally disproven the entire case. So Donna Shalala sent her nephew in with instructions from Hillary Clinton and others to throw me under the bus, and they did. And the next thing I know, I'm put on a bus to be sent to a California jail from Florida, which is one hell of a ride. And it stops in Oklahoma, that beautiful pearl of, tropical paradise, Oklahoma, in the middle of winter. I was in jail for like 5-6 months just stewing and furious. But I kept saying, God's got to be doing something here because this is totally out of the world. And I go to Oklahoma in this bus, and suddenly I get off and I get back on, and the bus turns around. I get on another bus, and it turns around, and it sends me to Pennsylvania. So I'm thinking, oh, man, they're doing just diesel therapy, torturing me. So I go back to Pennsylvania from Oklahoma, and the next thing I know, I'm put into an Oklahoma, or I'm sorry, I put into a Pennsylvania jail, and I'm furious about this, saying I'm supposed to be in California. And they just kind of snicker and laugh. Well, you're here now. And I'm up there playing bocce ball with, you know, the Italian mafia guys up there. And one of the guys that I befriended, you know, after a month says, hey, you got to meet this guy, Brad Birkenfeld. And I sit down and Brad and I start talking. And comes, he was the Swiss banker who had come over from Switzerland. Edward Snowden, incidentally, had targeted Birkenfeld when he worked at the CIA. The CIA were trying to get Birkenfeld's banking documents. A lot of political prisoners were in Pennsylvania. And Brad Birkenfeld said, I had all these WikiLeaks cables, all of these UBS, Union Bank of Switzerland bank accounts that were used by bad guys for terrorist financing, money laundering, offshore tax accounts. I brought them over to the United States after the CIA tried to capture me and get me in a false DUI, which was what Edward Snowden saw. That's why he told Glenn Greenwald about that later. And he said, they threw me in jail. After I testified, and he told me the whole story. And I said, you are the guy I was looking for. You are the guy that I was looking for when I was at U.S. Central Command, who held all of the Swiss bank accounts that the Saudi Arabians were using. And he gave me one, and he said, this is the biggest terrorist financier you could find. His name was Abdullah Aziz. He was connected to some interesting people, one of whom was Rudy Giuliani in New York. But I said, this is the guy. And I immediately took that document and many, many others and started to put together Shell Game, which is a military whistleblowing report to Congress. I sent it to James Mattis. I sent it to General Michael Flynn at DIA. I sent it to General Jeff Jacobs of U.S. Civil Affairs Psychological Operations Command at Fort Bragg. I sent it to Dianne Feinstein, chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. I sent it to over 100 different congressmen and senators, and no one did anything. Romney was running for office against Obama at the time. He did nothing. Rince Priebus did nothing. I've got all the letters that I sent to these people in a book called Exhibits. And I intend to bring that into the court and I've sent it to the president and others. And this book of exhibit lists every single congressman and senator that got my material and did nothing, including Justin Amash, that rhino, including Saxby Chambliss and Jason Chavez and all the others. I got some letters back from like Rand Paul. I got others with fear and panic in their eyes, like Jim Webb. I got Senator Bill Nelson of Florida, who was recently dethroned, wrote Senator Dianne Feinstein and said, who is this Scott Bennett guy? How did he get this information? He's connected with Edward Snowden. And Dianne Feinstein did nothing except one thing. She called and sent, I believe, Michael Isikoff of NBC News and Tom Hamburger, The Washington Post, up to interview me about this. And they came up and sat down for 2 hours, and I gave them all of this information. And they said one thing, Mr. Bennett, why do you think the CIA would do this? I never mentioned the CIA up until that minute. So, yeah, I wonder who works for the CIA. Tom Hamburger, Michael Isikoff. That's important, Paul, because now we see Michael Isikoff being outed as the journalist who disclosed the Christopher Steele Carter Page memo. And he also went over with the contractor to Ukraine to dig up material on Paul Manafort. So Michael Isikoff is a dirty CIA asset and needs to be investigated by the Congress. And it started with me when he met with me about Shell Game. And Brent, in my report originally, John Brennan was named, Obama was named, many people in the military at the high level were named. Everybody that was part of the Obama, Hillary Clinton Shell Game of terrorist financing, including Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer. And mind you, this all came from a synthesis of what Brad Birkenfeld had got from Julian Assange at WikiLeaks, all of the cables from the State Department, and my intelligence report that I was doing when I was in the military. We synthesized this into a single report and gave it to the highest levels of the government. I did it out of a sense of loyalty to my oath as an officer. I discovered also inside all the things about 9/11, and it totally opened my eyes. But Shell Game was particularly relevant because kids were getting killed by money that was used by the Saudi Arabians to fund Wahhabi fanatic mercenaries in Libya, in Syria, in Iraq, everywhere, and try and destabilize Assad. So that's the essence of Shell Game. That's why I think they've all been panicking. John Brennan, Hillary Clinton, Eric Holder, Lanny Brewer, Covington and Burling is a very important part of this because General Flynn fired his lawyers after I met with his brother, at a conference in Dallas. And I said, your brother has got these lawyers, and here's how they're implicated. Here's a copy of my book. And, you know, I think he took it. I think they've woken up to it. And Covington & Burling also employed Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer before they went to government, and then they returned and work for them now. So this law firm is implicated. Hillary Clinton, Ginny Rhee, Stuart Eisenstadt, these Mueller clowns that were on Mueller's team, connected to the Clinton McCabe's Foundation, are implicated. The whole thing is coming apart at the seams. So it's a great day to be invading Berlin, and I'm looking forward to hanging them like Mussolini.
You know, this is what you discovered in your journey, your sojourn, is that the connect the dots, basically, for who was actually providing the terror financing and the mechanisms. And you found out that there were two important banks in all this. One was HSBC, and the other one was Bank of Switzerland. And talk just for a second, so you can get this other character you haven't mentioned yet. Who was the gatekeeper at HSBC, where all the money around the world from cartels everywhere funnels in through this one bank? And of course, it's the financing is then applied to terrorism like ISIS. Who is that one person that was there?
That was James Comey and James Comey's brother. And HSBC had been a bank that the Senate had written an intelligence report on terrorist financing about. And Carl Levin had been the author of that. And when Brad and I submitted our report, we sent it to Carl Levin, too, saying Union Bank of Switzerland and HSBC have these crossover relationships. They need to be investigated. But HSBC and James Comey's brother did the accounting, I believe, for them. HSBC was one of the major terrorist financing banks. And that's why James Comey and Hillary Clinton and all of these people have been in this shell game. I mean, the title, I didn't make it up. God sort of put it in my head. But it's come to fruition that so many of these parts and these people have actually been part of this massive shell game, moving money around, not knowing where it goes, money from the Saudis, money for Bill Clinton's speeches from Qatar, from Saudi Arabia, from Morocco, from Mauritania, from the United Arab Emirates, from Bahrain, from Kuwait. All of the Wahhabi countries have been giving money to Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, expecting that she was going to win the presidency after the State Department. That was their great scam.
Right.
They were going to raise the Wicked Witch of the East up to be the new Emperor of Oz. And God sort of said, no, it's not going to happen. And he overthrew their money changing tables. And Donald Trump was elected by the people. And they've been in a schizophrenic, hysterical meltdown, like a bunch of demoniacs looking for pigs to run into and drown themselves. And they have. They've destroyed themselves. The media has destroyed itself. This Russian collusion narrative has totally fallen flat. It's now being exposed by Barr and Durham. And more things are going to be coming out, the Inspector General report. And I think very soon a lot of Brad Birkenfeld's reports are going to be brought out, because they exonerate Julian Assange and they provide a platform for Julian Assange to testify about the most important crimes that have occurred in this country since 1776. And that is the Hillary Clinton, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, Lanny Brewer, Obama, John Brennan, use of the CIA and the Department of Justice and the State Department to run this racketeering operation. This is a racketeering operation, besides mishandling of classified information and putting on a private server, which she did, and that is a violation. I was a Defense Department courier. I know how classifications are, and any material that is mishandled, whether you like it or not, or whether you intend or not, you're still prosecuted for it. I remember stories about that. When you go through the training, you leave something on a train, the whole train station's shut down and you're prosecuted. So Hillary Clinton should have had that, of course, applied to her. But that's the real man behind the curtain. It's not the great and powerful Oz, the green face between the fiery flames. No, that's all an illusion. The real little man behind the curtain is John Brennan and Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer and Loretta Lynch and Covington and Burling and Barack Obama and Saudi Arabia and Union Bank of Switzerland and Robert Wolf, chairman of the Americas of UBS, who was Brad's boss, who incidentally is Obama's presidential library guy now. He's also Robert Wolf on Fox News a lot. All of this is the real scummy story that is coming out. And it was fascinating, Paul. You and I got together in 2015, and when I told this at your Liberty tour, I think it was a month later, I went on Russian television and told the same story because right. they had been reaching out. And it's just cascaded ever since. And it's fascinating that the international media, Press TV, Iran, Russia Today, Russia 360, Sputnik, these other international channels are the only ones that have told the truth about this and allowed me to speak about it. No one's ever edited me. No one's ever, you know, told me what I can and can't say because they can't. But that's also a sad thing because it shows just how disintegrating our own media is in this country.
Well, they're compromised, and that's the big thing. You know, what's fascinating about this. And going back to the James Comey thing and Peter Comey, both working at the same time for HSBC, when they left, it was Peter Comey who became, I think, the finance person for the Clinton Foundation, where I think he's still today, actually.
Yeah.
But the other part of it, too, you mentioned, what was his name, the guy who's on Fox News, Wolf, is that his name?
Robert Wolf was Robert the Wolf, Union Bank right. of Switzerland chairman of the Americas, and he was in charge of the personal wealth management fund. And he is on Fox News as a commentator a lot.
Yeah.
He talks about Donald Trump a lot. He talks and he's Obama's presidential library guy. He was the one that struck a deal with Hillary Clinton and the government of Switzerland to hide 19,000 bank accounts and hundreds of millions of dollars. That a lot of that money went into Hillary's private accounts right. and payoffs, and that's what was contained in her private email servers, all that UBS stuff and other stuff.
You know, the thing is, I saw him on Fox News. I can't remember when it was, but, you know, I thought to myself, what is he doing there on Fox News? And, of course, they mentioned that he was part of the Obama team, blah, 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 and I thought, wait a minute, this guy, you know, I can remember... This is the guy from Shell Game. I'm thinking, why is he there now? Of course, this is still the infiltration is still out there. Of course, now we're talking about him. And I'm bringing this up as a special topic because, you know, now he's visible on Fox News. And why is Fox News doing that? Is there some compromise going on at Fox News? Now, listen, I know who listens to this radio show, and you do, too. And I'm bringing it up as a point. This guy needs to be hornswoggled yeah. right now. So, yeah. You know, I know who listens, and there it is. There's the big tip for who you need to go after next is this Wolf guy. But anyway, I just had to pick that one off. I had to check.
Well,
and then
say,
there's Peter Comey, too.
Another guy that needs to be kicked off or investigated is there is a Judge Ferraro, I think his name is, or Judge Farrow or Faro. And he calls himself, I think, the whistleblowing judge, or he's been on Fox and Friends. And he's got short hair. He's a tall guy. He was the judge at my initial hearing.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And
he was the judge at my initial hearing. He's a spy. He's CIA. There's something dirty about the guy. But there is an impossibility, Paul, of these things just sort of happening. No, and he was out of Florida. And it was fascinating because he was not supposed to be my judge at the initial hearing because the judge's nameplate was different.
Right.
But this guy came up and
I recognized him on Fox News.
And I said, that's the guy.
Yeah, I know. I remember you talking about that. But, you know, he was just on the other day. And I thought to myself, wow, he's back too. So, you see, that's what I'm saying. You've now got these players, these actors that are deeply embedded with Obama. And a very famous trick we know is when they're setting people up, like I've seen this so many times in the last 10 years, is that they'll substitute a judge at the last minute to hear these cases that are always at some point in time related to Clinton or Obama. And we saw that several times in a number of other things, especially in Wyoming and Idaho and things like that, where they were suing in New York courts. They were substituting judges at the last minute, which is a tactic and which is what they've done with this guy. But he was on just a couple of days ago, and I thought, okay, I'm seeing a trend here now. Two guys that are as dirty as possible are now on Fox News. And, you know, they're criminals. The bottom line is they're criminals, and they're on there for a reason. They don't just do this stunt because, you know, they're tied to Brennan. They're tied to all the whole cast of characters. So what are they going? What are they doing there? What are they saying? And again, it's a psyop on Fox News, or they're deliberately doing it. I hopefully they're not deliberately doing it. That's just my I'm ranting enough right there. But anyway, now that we delved into Fox News, I wanted to get into the whole Michael Flynn thing, because this is really important. Is that you identified when you found out it was Covington & Burling, it was a law firm. You're like going, what in the world is Flynn doing? And I'm glad you got finally to him, because just recently, I think it was last week, he fired them, and no longer do they represent him, which is now going to, I'm sure, going to change everything in the dynamics for Michael Flynn.
Yeah, well, the judge was trying to stop him from firing Covington & Burling. Mm. That came out last night. So he's filed a motion to fire them, and the judge is trying to stop that, you know, saying something like it's too late or something. But I and others can write an amicus brief to the court of course, bring up to the court that this is fraud upon the court. Covington & Burling has no business representing Michael Flynn because they're a party to the crimes in question. Covington & Burling was party to the aiding and abetting of terrorist financing involving the Clinton Foundation and the State Department. Jenny Ree was aware of it. The lawyer on Mueller's team that was also a lawyer for the Clinton Foundation, the State Department secretary and her staff were all part of this cabal involving Covington & Burling. So when they send a lawyer in to represent Flynn, it is not out of compassion of their heart. It's for intelligence gathering operations. Covington & Burling represented Michael Flynn to find out what he knew, when he knew it. And one of the things that was probably discussed and exposed was the original memo shell game that he received from Scott Bennett and Brad Birkenfeld that prompted General Michael Flynn to begin talking about the terrorist financing that DIA was now getting from Swiss banks that were involved in the Syrian destabilization operations that Hillary Clinton was in charge of. This money didn't just pop up somewhere. It came from specific channels. It came from Saudi Arabian banks, Swiss banks that were numbered, that didn't have names, except the bankers had the names. The bankers had the personal documents. And Brad Birkenfeld was one of those bankers. And he came over with briefcases full of documents and cell phone numbers and hotel numbers, all of the things. Had I had Brad in a skiff in the military, I could have shut down the whole terrorist operation within a week. The whole war, the whole thing would have been shut down. If Trump was in office when I was in the military at Central Command, go home, boys. The war's over. CENTCOM is closing down the whole operation. There's no more Wahhabism in Syria. There's no more destabilization of Libya. There's no more of this stuff. This Wahhabi cancer is contained. And we would have had a much better ability and leverage point to negotiate terms with Iran. But instead, Obama and Hillary Clinton wanted to spread the Wahhabi cancer, wanted to spread the money and destabilize Ukraine, destabilize Russia, destabilize Libya and Syria in this grand neocon agenda to conquer, you know, seven countries in 5 years, and then Russia and China and this U.S. hegemony, colonial juggernaut military conquest. All of it has destroyed this country's reputation and emptied our treasuries. But this was one of the turning points in this war, was the Hillary Clinton shell game.
Well, you know, I think that when we look at this history, we're going to be, I think you primarily, but me also, we're going to be seen as really the Russian collaborators.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
And, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm looking out at the studio window, yeah. You know, the whole time. But, and again, this is, I'm really proud to say that the way this whole thing has worked out is with all your dedication and all that you've endured, you've stood very, very strong in all this, and because you realize that God has a bigger thing going on here. And, you know, had you stopped or had you been able to be in that skiff with Brad Birkenfeld and put a stop to what has happened, we'd have to go back and say, look, there would not have been an Arab Spring. There would not have been any invasions of anything. ISIS wouldn't have been formed, even though ISIS, I know, was planned years in advance. I think that's what everybody realizes, is that some people are saying as early as 1979, but certainly in the 90s it was starting to come into fruition, and then finally full full on through 2002, then finally opened it up in 2014. And you could have stopped all that, and you could have stopped that illegal immigration that, of course, has flooded Europe.
Yes.
Because the Arab Spring was designed to overthrow everybody in Europe, and then provide the immigration, the invasion, which is what we're seeing now at the southern border of our own country. Their plan has worked out, but their plan has been stalled and stymied. And part of that stalling and stymieing was when I became associated with you. I heard about your story, but in my position as a radio talk show host and everything, we were doing a lot of stuff that we were discovering primarily through Chris Street and some other folks, and I'm not going to tell you who they are. I'm not on the air anyway. We were getting some incredible intelligence. Now, you were in the system at the time, and starting in around 2010, we were getting some pretty credible stuff that was pointing to a lot of nefarious activities that we couldn't quite put our fingers on. And then when Shell Game came out, I said, there it is. It all kind of connected together. And one of the big things that we were really concerned about was that there's obvious espionage rings going on in Washington, in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, clearly with the executive. And they were very easily spotted once we were getting emails, we were getting all kinds of things. And then Snowden, and then all of a sudden we hear about you. And, of course, I heard about you, and I'm going, this is the guy who's got it all. And that was early in January, I think, of 2015, 20 or somewhere around there. And then we put you up at the Liberty Tour, and that was in July of 2015, 48-minute Liberty Tour clip. And you laid it all out. You laid the whole thing all out. And, of course, our videographer did a great job of really doing all the graphics and stuff and connected those dots. And pretty soon I get a call from Russian TV because it's out on YouTube. It comes out on YouTube, I think, on the 21st. But I get a call from Russian TV, and they go, well, what about this Scott Bennett guy? I said, well, he's real. It's really – and I guess they had copies already in his hands. And he said, yeah. He said, okay. So finally – they do a background on you. They're fact-checking is what they're doing. And then, of course, I get a call back, and they said, well, we just turned this over to Vladimir Putin. And I went, oh, okay. I think that was early August. And then, ladies and gentlemen, look it up, because it was right after that Putin started bombing ISIS in northern Iraq, because ISIS had been set up to steal all the oil out of northern Iraq, which is what they were doing. They were thieving, and they were sending that oil over to Erdogan's son in Turkey. And as soon as that all popped in their head, that they realized that who is backing ISIS, who is financing it, who is supporting it, and it was, Clinton, and it was Obama. And, of course, those guys have been apoplectic ever since. Like, how did he find out? How did Putin find out? Well, and keep in mind, ISIS was killing Russians. They had gone through the whole thing about Syria. And again, Putin was saying about Syria, hey, do you want the – we're not going to have the, the Sunni Muslims, the Wahhabists, come floating up through ISIS, through Syria, right into the underbelly of Russia. That's not going to happen. And, of course, we certainly understood that. But, of course, the CIA and everybody else was just pushing back so hard against Syria, and of course, that's now it's even all over Fox News. They're still criminalizing Syria, but the fact that Putin acted on that information really, I think, thwarted a lot of what could have potentially happened. Even though you weren't able to stop it from the could not have that conversation with Brad Birkenfeld in the skiff, but and now I think the legacy is here in our own country. Of this this escapade that they've been putting on, because we're hearing now about all these people at the OTMs. We've talked about this a lot on my radio show, because it was those OTMs that we were discovering, the other than Mexicans coming across the border years ago when we were working with the American Land Forces Institute. And today they're a big problem. They're a real big problem. And, of course, one of the parts of my show this morning was, gee, illegal immigrants can fly anytime free, basically, and with no ID.
Yes.
This is just a manifestation of that operation in our own country, in my opinion. And those deep staters that are working with the TSA, that's working with Homeland Security, they are the ones that now need to be outed because they're doing the most damage to us.
Yeah. Well, we are in a quiet civil war, I think, and it's waking people up, and people are reclaiming their country. And I think New California, for example, is a great manifestation of that. People aggressively and patriotically claiming their constitutional rights and their right to freedom and living and low taxes and living without invasion from other countries and illegal immigrants. They're carving out New California as a response to this evil that Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown and all these other communists have been trying to force upon us, and bringing in the Chinese communist government into California. And I think the free Asian community, Ellen Zhao is a wonderful leader who's rising up in San Francisco to be the mayor. The Epoch Times, of course, and the Falun Gong, the best publication you could imagine, the Epoch Times, doing the whole Spygate scenario. And, you know, I love talking with the guys to provide, hey, here's some of the clarity on the Birkenfeld stuff that's coming out, because they do have Birkenfeld as part of their constellation. It just, you know, looks like the Little Dipper. I'm going to move it around and make it the Big Dipper or the Sword of Hercules or whatever it is. But all of this stuff is manifesting in an interesting way. I saw when you were talking about the Arab Spring, I saw the Arab Spring being planned at the Rand Institute when I was back there in 2008.
Wow.
I saw George Soros's Open Society, and I've got the documents that showed George Soros's society was part of the whole Rand Corporation. They were planning the destabilization of the whole Arab world. They were doing it through the strategic communications platforms, the radio stations. I remember their radio people from Syria and all these Middle Eastern countries coming over to the Rand Corporation and talking. And I mean, they were all CIA assets. So I saw all of this from the beginning, and I had a horrible feeling. And there are military guys there that were just so blood drunk on their own career advancement, they didn't think to the reverberations this would cause to, you know, Christian white Europe, European Europe, when all of these Muslims who couldn't read or write from Africa or Pakistan or all these other countries, what would happen when they flood up into Europe? And I was horrified when all of this actually started happening. And they did flood up into Europe and Germany and Sweden and Britain, and it's been chaos ever since. And I think they're doing exactly the same thing now along the southern border. Trump is doing the right thing. He needs to also deploy special operations forces to work with the Mexican military and provide crowd control. I'm talking radioactive sound weapons to keep these marauding hordes of migrants. They're not refugees.
Well, you know,
they're
the
migrants.
The other thing too, Scott, and you've heard me talk about this, it's not necessarily these immigrants. They're the pawns and all this. And by the way, most of them are bought and sold as slaves. This is a slave trading operation. It's a multi-billion-dollar operation. You know, for the criminal cartels. But we need to go after the leaders of these things. I mean, we Pueblo Sin Frontera. Who are they connected with? Catholic charities, anybody? You know, these are the people that are actually behind the scenes doing the damage. This is the operational head of it all. That all has to be investigated and taken out down, especially in Central and South America. There are special operators down there that have been working with those assets that you described in Saudi Arabia or from the Middle East. They're still working with them. We know that for a fact. And now they've become militarized in a lot of respects. Those OTMs we talked about especially have been militarized, and we've been getting reports on them. And just yesterday, finally, in the general news, they make an announcement about an ISIS guy got captured, and they debriefed him, you know, that whatever they did to get the information out. And he's a ruthless character, but he's not the only just one. I mean, we've been talking about these guys since, well, that's when, you know, we basically were introduced. Now the other part of what you did and the effort that you put in is you contacted everybody at the time in Congress, everybody, and I was in on many of the phone calls. We did it all by Skype. There's recordings of all this. One of the people that we talked to extensively was Michael Cohen.
That's right,
Michael Cohen. Right. And I'm looking right now, still in the same post-it in my studio with his phone number on it.
Yep.
It's a legacy issue. But that was starting in 2015. And then, of course, we were able to get information to the president. Well, he wasn't the president then. He was the candidate.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It was very disbelieving for Michael Cohen. He was in straight denial about what information you were imparting. But after a while, it became very evident he knew about it and has known about it. And whatever happened to put him in jail, he made some very, very big wrong decisions. Should have probably contacted you first.
Yeah, I think you're right. They came after him because I think they were listening, Paul. Remember, they were listening. They were spying. They knew me back in 2012 when I started, jamming the proverbial icicle up their colonoscopy port and shaking them like a New York noisemaker. They knew and hated me. And then suddenly I popped up on the Trump radar by contacting them on 2015 before Trump got on the debate stage with the nine other Republican candidates.
Right, right.
Then again, several times in 2016 with Michael Cohen. It's fascinating that the whole Vault 7 and all that stuff unloaded after we talked to Michael Cohen in 2016 and other people that new candidate Trump, very close to him, and all of that started to come out. That's why they went after Michael Cohen, because of his connection with Shell Game. He had a copy of the document. They knew he had a copy of the document. So all that needs to come out. Why did you do this, Mr. Mueller? Well, we were going after Michael Cohen because of his connection to Scott Bennett and Brad Birkenfeld and this document Shell Game that came out in 2012. Talked about terrorist financing and the Clinton Foundation and Clinton and all these other people. We couldn't let that come out, so we had to go after everybody. That's the real story that Mueller may be saying if he wants to save his life and not hit the death penalty for treason. And you know, one thing I want to hit really quick, Paul. There was a guy on Tucker Carlson last night, Buck Sexton, and I didn't like anything that he said because he's very ignorant of government. Everybody has been saying Donald Trump has no power against the bureaucrats. That is a lie. Here's how Donald Trump can arrest this wild, out-of-control bureaucratic horse. He jumps on its back with a Inspector General Czar in the White House that he appoints. The Inspector General Czar then oversees the Inspector Generals of every federal agency. And the Inspector General in every agency investigates waste, fraud, and abuse. And the political appointees in the agencies that represent the president work with the Inspector General in their agency and the Inspector General Czar in the White House. And they go in and they say, this is the president's orders for the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Treasury, the Department of Health and Human Services, whatever it is. This is being done this week, and if you don't get your tasks done, bureaucrat, you're suspended without pay, to be fired. You're in the basement. You're on leave. You're sharpening pencils. We don't need 1,000 bureaucrats. We need 10 good men to do the president's core initiatives. There's a lot of fat and cancer in the federal bureaucracy programs. Let those wither and die. Do the core presidential mandates with the political appointees, the Inspector General, and reassign the bureaucrats. I've worked in the federal government. I know exactly how it is. And when these idiots are up on Fox News saying, well, the president doesn't know what to do, he can't do anything, the entrenched bureaucracy are there forever, bull. I was in the bureaucracy, and I worked with conservatives, and they fired these parasites. They relocated them. They got them off their desk stations when they weren't doing the right thing. And President Trump can do the same thing. So he is not a captive to the bureaucracy. He can cut through them like a hot knife through butter with the right personality.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole situation with the president right now and what they've been trying to do to him, it's rewarding to look at really how much investigation, now that Barr's here, how much investigation was actually being done in different circles well before Barr came along, and even well before the Mueller investigation came out. Obviously, Robert Mueller realized that he was being investigated primarily by the attorney general out there in Connecticut and also in Utah. That was all going on. He knew about that because now we're finding out the attorney general, I think his name is Durham, in Connecticut, was actually investigating for about 18 months before he came out, before they said, well, yeah, this guy's out here. That was just last month. And he, 18 months ago, he started his investigation. So clearly Mueller, you know, realized, wait a minute, at some point in time, there's no there there. There was no collusion. There was absolutely no collusion. We know
That's
all
right.
about what happened
That's
with
right.
Flynn. There's absolutely no collusion at all. No collusion with anybody out there. We know that one. We knew that at the time. And, yep. We saw this whole thing unfold. They just never connected the dots as to how did Putin know to bomb ISIS? Because that was a complete game changer. Because remember, it was Obama who was talking to Medvedev. I can't remember who the guy was when the open hot mic was there, and he said, "Well, you know, after my next election, I'll have a much more free time." Well, that of course got interrupted by Shellgate, and they could not get over the fact that how did Putin know? Well, he knew because of you. It's your fault.
Yeah.
But you know, but we made it very clear, especially to Cohen and some of those other people, that how serious this was. And of course, it became something that Trump picked up on the campaign trail. And I was always saying on the radio show that the founders of ISIS were of course Obama and Clinton, and then of course after a while he picked it up because he had the facts, he had the information about what was going on. And of course now this legacy is playing out in a very, very big way, and you're all on board with it. So what does this look like? We got about three more minutes, but what does this look like for you going forward?
Well, I think this is a testimony that I need to give with Brad Birkenfeld and Julian Assange and Edward Snowden at the Senate. And I think that day needs to come. And I think we'd all be very, very useful to the president by saying, here's how we all came together. Here's the whole story. We came from different parts at different times, but the whole thing fits together into a puzzle piece that shows exactly that the Swiss banks and the Saudi Arabians were funding the Clinton Foundation in all these scams and terrorist financing. Julian Assange had the WikiLeaks cables. He sent them to Brad Birkenfeld. Brad Birkenfeld was targeted by Edward Snowden when he was in Bern, Switzerland. It's part of the Snowden movie that Oliver Stone made, because I briefed Oliver Stone. It's the part where the Pakistani banker gets into a strip club and then gets busted outside. And Edward Snowden saw his colleague Scott Bennett when he was in prison with Brad Birkenfeld sending this report up the TSSEI Nipper and Cipernet channels and decided to leave the country. So that's how it all fell together, and that's how it's all going to fall on their heads like a load of bricks. And I'd say people can look at shellgamewhistleblower.com for more information and get a copy of the report, Shell Game.
And, of course, now it comes to the other issue of New California.
Yeah, the great renaissance.
Yeah, and this is something that's happening. And, you know, people say, when is it going to happen? We say, it's happening right now. We just finished our fourth constitutional convention. We're moving forward. We're getting bigger, stronger as every day goes by. This is the resistance to all those folks, and you know it's been wonderful, Scott, to be associated with you. And I know we're going to be in for the long haul here. We got a lot more work to do, but I'm glad we're standing side by side, buddy.
Amen, Paul, and you're doing a great job, and I thank you for your leadership in New California and all these things. If it wasn't for you, a lot of this would never have started, so the president certainly is proud of you, I think.
Well, listen, thanks a lot. Anyway, Scott Bennett here on Agenda 21 Radio, and we'll be catching up more with Scott in the future. We got to run for time right now. I want to thank everybody for listening to Agenda 21 Radio, and of course, you can check us out on the internet, a21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com. We've got a lot of things going on in New California State. You can go to the website and become a member of New California, but also sign up on Sign Up Genie. And if you're an expat, if you're out there in one of the other states, you want to come back home to California, you can come into New California by signing up in your own county. But just put your little name up there in the bar saying, oh yeah, I'm in Nevada, but I want to come home, you know, that sort of thing. So anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.